Today I shall speak to you on the first three witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you each week at this time over the station. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that this message will encourage the saints and draw the lost ones into thy precious kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Each Gospel account gives us a somewhat different picture of the first witnesses of the resurrection. Matthew speaks of two women who came to the grave early, Mark of three women, Luke of several women, and John speaks of one woman who came for the early morning embalming. We could take several positions regarding this matter. We could say that of all the gospel writers, John's account is the most authentic because he was the only one of the writers who was there. Or we could say that Mary arrived a little earlier than the other women, and this gives the other stories similar credibility. I believe, however, the best position to take is that each gospel writer tried to highlight a different aspect of the resurrection and, with the help of the Holy Spirit, selected material that would give the best account of the resurrection from his perspective. The book of John gives us a picture of three distinct personality types as we observe the way each responded to the empty tomb. Let's first look at Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre, then she runneth. There are those of us who, at the first evidence, at the first sign of the unusual, make quick judgments, and then we run to tell. This is the excitable type. It seems that, in general, women tend to run sooner than men. They are often more driven by first impulse. Mary Magdalene did not look into the sepulchre, nor did she go into the sepulchre, nor did she do an inquiry at the scene of the sepulchre. She simply saw and ran. Fortunately, she knew who to run to. Our text says, "Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved." This other disciple is, of course, John, who wrote this gospel. If you're a runner type, be sure you know who to run to. By now, Mary knew who to run to, for the prominence of Peter as a spiritual leader was obvious to all of Jesus' followers. Mary Magdalene was the first to arrive at the empty tomb, and so she rightly ran. The stone removed from the tomb of our Lord was occasion to run and to report. She was also correct in running to Peter. She knew to whom our Lord had invested the most authority. Where she was wrong was in her assumption that Christ's dead body had been moved. Now we come to the second witness of the resurrection, to John. As we read on, we see Peter and John probably still in a depressed sleep, being awakened by pounding at their door, getting into their robes and running to the tomb. Mary ran, Peter ran, John ran. This was runner's day in Jerusalem. The city was still sound asleep. Darkness engulfed her sacred edifices, while three of Jesus' followers were running to and from the tomb. Our text said that they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. From this we learn that Peter was the first out of bed, the first dressed, and the first on the run. What else do we expect from Peter, anyhow? We then read that John outran Peter, indicating that John was slower in getting started, but then caught and outran Peter, arriving first at the tomb. Can you see, my friend, that this was not a jog, but surely a serious race? Now, what does John do as he arrives at the tomb? It says, "And John, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying, yet went he not in? Why did he not go in? Well, because he was a peeker. He was a visionary. He saw a little bit of the evidence, and with that small portion of evidence, he constructed a picture in his mind. So then there are the runners and the peekers. Are you a runner or a peeker? And which of the two is better? Now comes the third witness of the resurrection, Simon Peter. Our text says, then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloth lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Peter went in. Of course, again, what else do we expect from him? The only one of the apostles who said, Lord, wash not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Peter is the only apostle who said to Jesus, I will lay down my life for thy sake. Peter went in, all the way in. That was his life. Peter was the only one who asked almost all the questions asked by the 12 apostles as recorded in the four Gospels. His name is found 94 times in these four Gospels. Peter was the investigator. He wanted all the facts by revelation, by observation, and by investigation. It was only after Peter went into the tomb that John followed. Peter and John were a wonderful pair. They stayed together in Jerusalem during Jesus' trial, and they were found together after Pentecost going to the temple to pray. For Acts chapter 3 says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So we have the runner, we have the peeker, and we have the investigator. Which of these three types are you, my friend? Or are you some of each? This is only an academic question, as you understand. It does not matter, really, in practical terms, does it? The first point of this article, and what matters most, is that every person responds differently to a phenomenon, to an event, and we must not be critical of people or judgmental of people who respond differently than we do. Jesus loved all these responses, and he left all these people for what they were. For each of them was totally devoted to God. Diversity of gifts, callings, and personalities invoke a diversity of responses. So Jesus rewarded all these three witnesses of the resurrection in a very special way. He rewarded Mary, the runner, by letting her be the first person to see the risen Christ. Jesus rewarded John, the peeker, by giving him a revelation of the triumphant Christ as we see it in the last book of the Bible in the Revelation. And Jesus rewarded Peter with opening Pentecost and allowing him to be crucified upside down for his precious Lord. So, if you are a runner, keep running. If you are a peeker, keep peeking. If you are an investigator, keep investigating. Don't try to be anybody else. Don't try to be someone you are not called to be and couldn't be even if you tried. Now we're ready for point number two of my little message today, and that is that none of the physical evidence of the empty tomb sufficed as proof of the resurrection. Jesus' followers needed to see the risen Christ themselves, each of them, in order to believe. Mary did not believe when she saw the empty tomb. She did not believe when she saw the angels in the tomb. She only believed when she heard the Lord Jesus speak her name and turned to see his face. Peter and John did not believe the physical evidence at the empty tomb. Jesus told them over and over again that he would rise on the third day. Now here was the third day, and the evidence in front of them should have sufficed to make them believers of the resurrection of their Lord. It says, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with a linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. All of the investigative skills of Peter did not suffice to make him a believer in the resurrection of Christ. Even Mary Magdalene's credible report to the disciples later on that same day that she had seen the risen Christ did nothing to convince him or the others. Peter and the rest did not believe until, like Mary Magdalene, they saw Jesus standing in their midst in his resurrection body. Even so, Thomas did not believe in the resurrection, did not even believe his fellow disciples talking about it until he too saw the Christ with his wounded hands and feet standing before him. Dear ones, we say we believe in the resurrection of Christ. We have 2,000 years of documentation and tradition behind us. But for most of us, we only believe in the historical, I say the historical Christ. We have not yet come to a personal revelation, to a personal encounter of Jesus, of the risen Christ. For if we had one, we would be a praying people. We would be a pure people. We would be a witnessing people, as these disciples were from that moment on the rest of their lives. We would be a non-judgmental people, a patient, a long-suffering people filled with the precious Holy Spirit, having the love of God shed abroad in our hearts towards all mankind. When we really, and I say really, meet Jesus, really see the risen Christ with our spiritual eyes, we will be completely changed, and our lives will show it. We will have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us, making us live holy lives. You can't live a holy life without the Holy Spirit in you. We will display the fruits of the Spirit, and we will want to reach the world for our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we, like the first witnesses, need to have hearts that seek after God more than anything else. Then we shall see the risen Christ with our spiritual eyes. We shall comprehend him with our spiritual understanding, as the first witnesses did. And we shall be ambassadors through his precious Spirit, each as God has created us and equipped us in our unique way. Now, Father, we thank thee for thy precious anointing today, and may we, precious Jesus, be as eager to be with you as Mary Magdalene, as Peter, and as John, forsaking all to make you number one. In Jesus' name, amen. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.